Simon Tov Samach Zayin, Seif. In case you want to ask something, perhaps best if you chat. I will probably, hopefully, see it. All right. I hope you can see me and hear me. Okay. Simon Tov Samach Zayin. We are up to Seif Gimel. Please do. Okay. I hope you can hear me. Right. Okay. So Seif Gimel teaches us follows. Sak Mali Kemach Shenislach Lech Mizias Achoyma. If you've got a bag full of flour which got wet from the wall, from the moisture of the wall, if it got wet, so you had a bag, a sack of flour, and you placed it next to the wall, and the moisture of the wall made the flour moist, then the halacha is mutter, then the flour remains mutter, but yesh oisim some aseret. This is very important halacha with regards to the storage of the flour for the matzahs. We've got many, many kilos, hundreds of kilos of flour which has to be stored. We must ensure, based on this halacha, one has to ensure that all the flour which is kept for the baking of matzahs must be guarded from any moisture. The example of you given, moisture from the walls, but it doesn't only refer to moisture from the walls. Any additional moisture from a room, which a damp room may create, so moisture will actually, according to this Shulchan Aruch, according to some opinions, it will make the entire flour awesome. Now it's a difficult balance, because on the one hand we've got to keep it in a dry place, and we've got to keep it away from the sun, and we've got to keep it in a place that is safe from too much heat. On the other hand, if you keep it in a damp place, it's going to get a certain moisture, and that will, according to many opinions, actually make the entire bag of the flour awesome. So it's a very subtle balance to keep it just right. So this is the moisture of the wall. If it gets onto the flour of the onto the flour, will actually make the flour also. So this is an important halacha. Siv Dalet, top of page 134. What if it's even worse than that? What happens if there wasn't just moisture from the wall? But even worse than that, there is noflumayim al kemach. There's actually water which went on the, not just moisture, but actual water going onto the flour. Ho'nislach lach asak, or the bag which is holding the flour gets wet, properly wet. So what are you meant to do now? So you've got certain known parts of the flour which got wet. You've got this big bag which you wanted to make matzahs with this big bag of flour, and you can see that there's elements within this, it's parts within it which got wet. Now this wet part of flour is inevitably chametz. What are you going to do with that? So the Shulchan Aruch says, what you can do is the following. This got damp. This flour is damp. Yoichas biyodoi kol hamokim. You should hold with your hand kol hamokim, the entire place, hamluchloch, which got wet. The damp part of the flour you should hold with your hand. Basak, in within the bag. Ach yori kol hakemach shebasak. So you're holding it, the area which got wet. You're holding it and you pour it out, assuming that everything which you're holding, which is the wet part, you're holding, and everything else is kind of going to flow out, is going to go out. So that's the way you're going to keep back the moist part of the flour within the bag, and everything else is kind of just going to go out. And that's fine, because you've got the known parts of the flour which got wet. These parts are left behind, everything else goes out, and that's fine. Until you've emptied out the entire flour of the back. What if you can't do it? You've got practical difficulties to do that. Then you can, if it's too bulky or it's too big or it's too hard to do that. What you can do is, you sift it through, you sift it through. Now this is all based on the fact that wet flour gets a bit clumsy, no? It gets a bit... Pardon?
It'll become comets.
Yes, and practically speaking, how will it differ from the other parts of the flour?
Soggy,
clumsy, soggy, yeah. So therefore, Shulchan Aruch suggests another very simple suggestion. You can just sieve it through. Take that whole bag of flour, which part of it is wet, part of it is not. If you can't just hold it back, you can put it in a sieve, the kind of thing, and sieve it through. The wet part's going to remain behind, and the dry part's going to go through. You can do that as well. And whatever goes down is permitted. It's fine. You can assume that's dry. That's as long as the wet parts of the flour are still wet. But what happens, and that's far worse, what happens if you know there was wet and moisture, there was wetness and moisture, it was clearly wet, but in the meantime, this was 2 months ago, in the meantime it's gone dry. So now you know there was part of the flour there which was wet, and thereby it definitely was chametz. But now it's dried already. You cannot sieve, you can't just put it through a sieve and be miraculated because all is dry now. But you've got clearly within it vadai chametz, which is in it, and you can't separate it because it's gone dry already. But just because it got dry, it doesn't change its halachic status of being chometz. So whilst it was wet, you had a simple etzah of just sieving it through. And what is kept behind is wet, is chometz. But now that it's all gone dry, what are you going to do about it? So he says, the mifrach, it's going, if you're sieving it through, it's not going to help. The mifrach, it's going to crumble. It's going to mix with a dry chometz, which never became chometz. So the flour is now one big, it's all together, it's all dry, while some of it is chometz. The osul ochre Pesach, there will be prohibited to eat on Pesach. And like then, you should keep it for after Pesach. The point being, once it has dried, you have no way of identifying the chometz flour with the non-chametz flour, there's no way out. You can't, this is chametz. You can't help it. You have to keep it aside until after Pesach, and you can consume it and enjoy it after Pesach, but not on Pesach. But if this incident happened on Pesach, then actually you've got Issa Shia, you can't even keep it, you've got to sell it to the goy. So this is straightforward, we can understand. If you can separate it, then separate it. If you can't separate it because it's gone dry already, then you have to keep it aside until after Pesach. All right. There is an interesting Mishnah Berurah over here, which I want to take a little bit out of context for an important piece of information. It's an important piece of information. I'm taking this Mishnah Berurah a little bit out of context in Sifkot Nud Zayin. Sifkot Nud Zayin has a interesting approach, which, based on Bitulim, he wants to suggest that perhaps, even if it is dry already, perhaps it becomes mutter because of Bitul, it's considered lach belach, which becomes bottle, and he's got a whole cheshben and approach to actually allow, although it's gone dry. Without going into that, he does say that even if you've got a permitted combination of flour, he wants to say, nevertheless, you may not use it on Leil HaSeder. Why? He said, because even if it becomes mutter through Bitulim, Potel Beroiv, or Potel Beshishim, whatever it may be, nevertheless, it loses its quality of being Shmura Matzahs. Shmura Matzahs mean that it's guarded, it's been fully guarded. Now, if you've got a matzah, which is made out of flour, which that flower has got historically some sort of bitul in it, bitul beroiv or bitul beshishim, that kol ha-toyre kula, everywhere else in halacha, we look at it as being mutter. Alright, it's mutter. It's got a bitul and it's fine, it's mutter. However, when it comes to the halachas of shmura, of shmura matzah, then there's an additional fact that needs to be a shmura matzah, needs to be guarded. And even though generally we look at bitulim allowing us to eat, and it becomes an item which is permitted, nevertheless, a shmura matzah it won't be. One therefore has to refrain from these matzahs which have got in its background historically some bitulim in it. This is very important. This is really, really important, because even without going into this specific shiloh over here, in the specific heter and the kula that he has over here, with regards to the flour which was wet and it's gone dry, without even going that, the concept is something which is an important halachic psak, which is, the Mishnah Berurah brings it in a couple of places later as well. And this is the point, that if you have got matzahs, which is made out of flour, and the flour has got, based on combination, has got bitulim, and we know that bitul works, you can have a milk going into the cholent, and if it's bottled by shishim, it's going to be mutter. You can have something, meat, which is awesome, meat from Tesco, and it's mixed in shishim. We know that it's bottled b'shishim, and it's mutter, it becomes mutter. We know bottled b'shishim works, bottled b'roiv works, bottled b'shishim works, and it's something which you're allowed to consume, you're allowed to eat it without any hesitation. Bitul works. This is true in Kol HaToyre Kula. And here it comes an exception, and it's a fascinating exception. He says, you're allowed to eat it, but a shmura matzah it won't become. It's not going to be a guarded matzah. So therefore, if you've got a matzah which is made out of flour, and the flour had a shaila at one point, and you had to rely on bitulim, it may be fine to consume and to eat and to enjoy during the rest of Pesach, because bottle b'shishim, but on Leila said you can't eat it because a shmura matzah won't be, and we are makpid to have shmura matzahs on Leila Seder. It's an important point which we've got to.
Can I clarify something? I thought that with Pesach we were extra strict, and that we, if there's any chashash of the chometz, then we would not use it. We would not use the bottle that applies in other scenarios at other times of the year. So why are we being lenient over here and allowing this kula to, even though there's a chashash that it might actually be a chometz, and even if it is proper matzah, then why b'nei eved, could you not still fulfill your mitzvah of non-shmura matzah on Saturday night, b'nei eved?
So the second question is easier to answer. I'll start with that. Are you yoytze b'nei eved? I think b'nei eved maybe yes. It sounds like from the wording of the Mishnah Berurah that b'nei eved you are yoytze, but it will be a very weak and poor b'nei eved, because we are makbid on this base mayor that we don't rely on sfeikas when it comes to shmura matzah. So that's with regards to your second question. With regards to your first question, are we not generally machmir on sfeikas? How come over here we would allow them for the other days? It's a good question. That's Sfek Sfeika. Sfek Sfeika. It's a good question. Has to be investigated. It's a really good question. You're saying that. Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah. Okay. But the Yeah. Okay, this is the. I'm reading the words of the Beis Meir of the Mishnah Berurah over here. It's quoting Zivkot Yud Zayin in the second white line. Mikol Mokem Mikach Matzahs Acheirois Lelelis Rishonim. You should take other matzahs for the first night. Valkol Ponim Ein Zeshomu. The Alkol Ponim at the very least Ein Zeshomu Koigen. It is not considered a guarded a shmura matzah. V'adin b'chol heicha t'mach shirinon mitam sfek sveke v'chadoyim. It says any instance that you're to rely on the matzah because of Svek Sveka, then you're not allowed to, it's not considered the garden matzah. Okay, we move on. Top of page 136. What other liquids will be what other liquids are considered an issue for chametz? So the Shulchan Aruch says, if a hatal machmit, dew is also considered something which makes it chametz. Take v'chein mei aglaim, urine is also something which will make it chametz. Umei ha-peh, saliva becomes chametz. V'achoyteim, v'ayin, v'oizn, any discharge that may come from the nose, from the eye, or from the ear, although all this is considered liquids which will make it go into chametz. V'cholov, v'zeas odom. However, cholov, milk, doesn't go chametz. V'zeas odom, sweat of a person is also not machmetz. Mishnah Berurah, Sivkotan Chov Gimel. All those liquids which will make it go chametz. That's obviously if you've got 18 minutes. It's like water. It's like water that if you handle it, if you work it, then it doesn't become chametz. But if you leave it unattended, it will rise and ferment and become chametz after 18 minutes. That's human urine, bein shu gadol, bein shu katan, a child or an adult, aval de behema, but urine from an animal, v'shah balechaim, from any animal, yishtez min apopoizk min machmitz, that might not become chametz. Sivkon chav dalet, saliva, mei papeh v'achoytem, bein shel odom, bein shel shah balechaim, saliva from any animals. We have spoken about, in earlier seif, about saliva that comes from the animals on top of the barley, that will make it go chametz. The reason for it is to call elum toilers amayim. These are all considered categories of water. It's like water. Blood, sevkotten chov hay. Blood, aval dom is also considered a liquid which does not become chametz. V'adin de me'arot gamkin in machmitzin tavekidam v'leichas rucha. So blood is not considered something which becomes chametz. I have no chemical explanation why saliva yes, blood not. I don't know why sweat is different than saliva. I can't explain that. I don't know if anybody's got a chemical explanation for that. But that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, that blood and milk and sweat is not considered something which becomes chametz. I was always wondering, I have absolute evidence for that. I have absolute evidence. I was just interested and intrigued and curious if perhaps all the blood libels that historically were said on the Eden over the many centuries from the Middle Ages all the way till, I believe, in the 1900s there was still blood libels and claiming that Eden use a blood for the matzahs, which is a ridiculous, crazy idea. But I wonder if it was misinterpretation or an evil misinterpretation from this Shulchan Aruch. I don't know, but I was just wondering, because dam and cholov and zeas adam is something which is not machmitz. So I wonder if there's any connection to that. I'm not sure. But either way, dam, cholov, and zeas adam is not machmitz. Yeah. Right, we'll stop where we will. We'll continue Sefer tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Just to summarize what we learned this evening, we learned that a bag of flour which got wet is a machloikas. If the bag got a bit wet, it's a machloikas if you can use the flour, yes or no. If the flour itself got wet, then certainly the flour that got wet becomes chametz. If you can identify it, you should separate it, because if it's clumpy, then you can just separate it and that's fine. If you can sieve it, that's fine as well. However, if it's gone dry already, then it's much more complex, because then you can't see the difference between the chametz stick flour and the non-chametz stick flour. It's all together. You should therefore keep it until after Pesach. We learned that a Beis Meir paskens over here that any flour which is based on a Sfek Sfeika, any flour which becomes mutter because of Sfek Sfeika, and similar heterim, whilst Kol HaTorah Kula Sfek Sfeikas are permitted, but when it comes to Pesach, when it comes to matzahs, then one has to refrain because it's not considered guarded. We then spoke about the various liquids. The dew becomes chametz, urine, and any discharge from the mouth, from the nose, from the eyes, that becomes all chametz. However, blood and milk, and as well as sweat from a person, doesn't become chametz.